Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.
Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. I am your host, Jason Tardik. This is the pre-market trading segment where I do an intro before the main guest comes on. For those who are new to the show, the main guest is usually recorded at minimum a week ago and at maximum a month ago. I then do the recap with my good friend, the Curious Canadian, that's after the episode. And then I do this intro where I break down a little bit more about the guests and some news you need to know going into this week as it relates to financial and career changes in the economy. I'm going to make this one a little bit shorter today. This is my second attempt at this. First attempt, it did not go well. I'll tell you that much. Maybe at some point I will release it. The intro is always recorded the night before the episode is released, so I can get the most current news for the week going into the week. As some of you might know, Caitlin and I have shared our current relationship news that we are ending our engagement tonight. So the intro will be short. It will be sweet. Today we have Blake Horseman on from The Bachelorette. Bachelor in Paradise and MTV All-Star Shore. This is part two of our interview. Part one was last week. We have Giannina Gibelli on, his girlfriend, who is from Love is Blind Season 1, who he met on All-Star Shore Paramount Plus. In this episode, we talk about a whole lot of things. We talk about their support for one another professionally and personally, each of their individual careers, some of their goals with earnings, some of the money they have made, some of the big shifts they've made. You'll hear another guest come in. It's actually Blake's manager, Eric. He is behind Blake while I'm recording, and so there are a few times you'll see that I bring Eric up. I know Blake had dealt with some hardships with Reddit and just pushback during his toughest times through Paradise. So we do talk a little bit about getting through the personal and professional side of things during really tough hardships. And while I'm asking that, it's going to be a weird break. Actually, my dad was calling. And so I pick up the phone as my dad's calling and immediately put him on. So you'll hear that weird break. So that's just a little perspective there. At the end of the episode, I asked them 10 questions about their personal finances to see how much they've talked about one another's financials and portfolio and goals and dreams, because that's a lot about what my second book, Talk Money to Me, is about. And so it's a really good game at the end. You'll hear it. I pose the 10 questions. They then have their whiteboards. They put the answers and they share the answers. So this is a great, great episode. I'm going to cut this intro short. I'm not going to provide news at this time, given what's happening in my life. It's been a little bit of a challenge today and tonight. And when I'm prepared and feel ready to talk through how these things also impact my life and what's next for me, I will share those, as I always try to hold my standard to share specifically what I ask of my guests. Let's ring in the bell with Blake and Giannina.
Since I was off the show, and I remember talking to Grocery Store Joe about this, actually, we were down in Tulum, and we were talking, every year I have made more money. which I think is incredibly difficult to do in in this industry. And I think this year I'm going to top last year. I really, I'm on pace right now. We keep getting some incredible DJ deals, some festivals. And as much as, you know, DJing and this music industry is hard, and I've been doing it now for almost 4 years, you have to grind. You have to get your name out there. You have to continue to succeed. People have to see that you're good at what you do, because I know I had a lot of disrespect. You know, you come in as an influencer, quote unquote,
of
DJ,
course,
right?
Yeah.
Like nobody takes me serious. So you just got to prove yourself over and over. And I don't mind doing it. I love doing it, and I've been doing it. And now we're starting to get calls from some legitimate clubs, some legitimate festivals that are like, okay, he's put the work in. We've seen the videos. We've heard his music. Like, now let's see what he can do. And so the phone's starting to ring a lot more.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, the brand is building. The momentum is there. Yeah. We also, behind you, have your business partner, manager, everything, helped you in the DJ business, all the things. Eric Bradley's here. Eric, I want to bring you on. I have two questions for you at this point. You're going to have to come to the mic. Anything that you've heard so far from either one of these two, because you're with them all the time, G or Blake, is there anything, we'll start with this, that you think is off base? Or do you think everything's pretty on point? The dollars, any fibs in here?
No, everything's on point, everything that they're saying. And I would never let him pay to play. Because we're in the money making.
Yeah, the money making. All right, Eric, let me ask you this too. This is the second question. You have seen Blake go from doing gigs almost for free to $500 to now 60,000 plus people at Stagecoach. When you see his brand and how it's moving, just what's your overall sentiment and like how you've seen it shift in the last year, and how has like the demand picked up? How are the calls picked up? Like just your take on him as a DJ in the last year and the way he's grown his business just as a manager.
Yeah, just seeing the growth and all the time and effort, and like seeing him starting to create and make his own music is probably the biggest thing. Once he starts making his own tracks, it's just going to blow up.
That's when it goes next level.
Yeah, that's next level.
So your goal in managing his career is like, I want you making your own tracks because I want you to go to that next point.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's how it works. You get one or two songs that go viral.
That's it.
These TikToks and everything else.
And how quickly it explodes. What happens to your, suppose you get 10K a set, you get one of these big things that go viral. What does your rate go to then? 5x, 3x.
Yeah, probably at least 3 to 5.
3 to 5x.
It's crazy. Yeah, I was, and Eric, you know, he's got a lot of people in the industry now, in the music industry and stuff. You talk to other managers and you start to hear what other people are getting rate wise.
Yeah.
And it is astronomical. Like these numbers.
What's the most astronomical number you heard in the business?
I mean, there's.
I know.
I mean, there's a lot.
G's got one. G, what's yours? Let's see. I want to hear it.
The Illenium.
What's crazy about Illenium is a lot of people are like, Illenium, like who's Illenium?
Yeah.
But the man has such a loyal cult following that he can see, just sold out. He just headlined the biggest EDM show of all time in Denver. He sold 60,000 tickets.
What was the rate that's
insane? I don't know. Should we say his rate?
I don't know if we can.
For that show, I don't know.
That show.
What was so impressive about that night as well was, you know, you see a lot of artists that go and play stadiums.
Yeah.
And you have a headlining act and two or three support acts. So that headliner needs support help to sell out a show. Illenium did 3 sets and did that all on his own. No support. That had to have been a couple $1 million day for him.
Damn.
And for somebody like that and some of these other big names, whether it be Diplo or, you know, Dylan Frey, like we're talking for a 90-minute set. 300 to 500K for a 90-minute set. And so these DJs are pulling 3, 4, 5 of those a weekend.
That is just a wild, wild, wild road.
Yeah.
Do you have a goal, a projection, like I want to make this for one night and I'm going to do it at some point? And what is that number?
Yeah, and I think Eric made a great point. There is a ceiling, and I think you break through that ceiling with your own music. And when you start to make original music and then that, you know, you get some following there with your original music. I mean, I would like to be pulling in, you know, eventually 100% 6 figures for a set. Like that would be my goal for
all
sure.
Right, you're gonna
it is like the craziest part is I've seen it.
Look at G light up. Yeah, let's go, baby.
I've been there since the bottom.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where like I've seen it and I'm like, it can happen. Like I think that's probably the craziest part about this industry is there's so much money to be made and I've seen it with other DJs and I'm like, it can happen. You just gotta,
We're gonna play a game. It's gonna be 10 questions about finances. But before we do, I wanna ask you this. With either of your careers, with your career as a DJ, you're in clubs, you're in bars, there's a certain audience, a lot of drinking, having fun. You are in the fashion space, absolutely stunning. I'm sure there's, you know, people like reaching out. Mm-hmm. And part of your brand is looking beautiful. Part of your brand is wearing the best style. Like, that's part of the business. Mm-hmm. And part of your brand is bringing all those Bachelor Paradise reality girls and stuff like that are fans to the show. This is a question more about just balancing professional and personal. How do you guys work together as one to support each other through the pulls, the lefts, the rights, the late nights, the drinking, the DJing, the fashion, all that stuff? What is the team thought process as a couple?
Yeah, it's a good question. We actually get this question quite a bit because we do live in an industry where there's a lot of, you know, I'll just say it, temptation, right? Sure. We live in an industry where there's a ton of temptation. Whether it be me DJing at clubs, late night, drinking a ton. There's, you know, women everywhere drinking a bunch.
And, me, you know, going to France for 2 weeks with a bunch of models.
With a bunch of rich models.
CEOs.
Yeah. So there is obviously, there's just trust between us. I think you feel this way too. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like, you have my trust until you lose it. You know what I mean? Like, you have my full trust until you lose it. And I think, you know, she thinks the same way. And I go over the top a lot. Like, I am very aware that it's probably not easy to date me when it comes to my career. Like, I am very aware that it's not easy to date DJ. You know what I mean? That should be like a bumper sticker. So I'm like over the top conscious of that. I FaceTime her multiple times a day. I always try to FaceTime her when I get home from the club. Yeah. She doesn't ask me to do that. No. But I just do it. She doesn't. And I just do it because I know it's, you know, the right thing to do. You know what I mean? So that's just something I'm very conscious of. And I'm like, okay, like, you know, it's 4 a.m. I just got done with a set. I'll give G a call. She'll see that I FaceTimed her, you know, and I haven't missed FaceTime she'll wake up to. So
I think that's a great answer. What about you, G? What's your perspective on that?
I think that how he's been just so respectful always without me having to ask him to do any of these things is what eases me. Like, I'm never anxious whenever he goes to a set or when he leaves for tour for 10 days. Like, I'm never uneasy about it. And it wasn't always like that. Like, in the beginning when I met you and I knew that your job was, you know, like this, again, I'm very secure in our relationship, so I always felt like it was normal. Like, I was never uneasy about it. Mm-hmm. And then there was like a point for like 2 to 3 months where I was like, "Wait, should I be?
Yeah,
should I be uneasy? Like, what's like? Do I need to question this a little bit more because I am so trusting?" And during that time, he just reinforced how like there's just nothing to be worried about. And I mean, I think to your point, I go with my initial instinct. Mm-hmm. And then external factors can kind of play into that. But as long as like we know what's going on and how much he trusts me when I turn around and I do something for my job, and there's just no question about it. You just have to have like those tough conversations. But at the end of the day, like, I trust him fully and he does the same with me. And until there is something that needs to be questioned, which there hasn't. And I think at this point, even when we were starting our relationship, that's kind of like the easiest point to be like, oops, I fucked up, you know, because you're not so like tied together. But no, it's been very, very nice. And when it comes to like doing projects together, I was in a public relationship before this and it was hard, man. Like, there was just no agreeing to anything. There was no, even like the creative concept, the timing, nothing. And with Blake, it's just, it's very like effortless. There's a lot of work to be put in, but at the end of the day, it's fun. And as long as we keep it fun, then I can do this forever.
And I mean, I go to my shows and people are holding up signs to "Where's G?" You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's become a thing where she comes to a lot of my shows and like, we just support each other a lot. And you know, there's times where, you know, I feel bad because I'm like, you know, hey, like just recently I got offered a thing. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm going to be gone for 6 days down, you know, in Charlotte. And like,
he wants me to be there.
Yeah. And I'm like, come down. And I think that's the biggest, and I try to remind her of that. Some boyfriends or, you know, some people would be like, yeah, I'm going to 6 days. I'll see you in 6 days. But I'm always like, you know, if you want to, I'd love to have you. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, it's just one of those things where we've found our way to do it. Mm-hmm. Our way. I'm not saying it's for everybody, but I think we found a way where we trust each other and we work really well together.
And I think what's cool is when I put out that I was interviewing you, one of the biggest questions I got was, you've been in a public relationship and you've been all over the public, but been single through it. Are your businesses picking up as one? And what I'm thinking of, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but what I feel like is especially the way you two operate, is that the power of you two together, of course, will be better, right? It will always be better. However, it feels to me, just based on this conversation, it's really the support to get to the next level, to push someone, that's allowed you to take the power of the relationship, but also be so successful in your own ways. Because if you're DJing, gee, I'm assuming likely not getting paid. And if you land that next Gucci deal or whatever big fashion deal, or have your own line that I know you, that you're thinking about and you've done, it's Blake pushing you to do it. So it feels, at least my perception, is that you have benefited better as being together, but it actually might not be because you both are in the screen doing an ad together. It might be because you've supported and recognized and promoted and pushed each other's brand. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, and to your point, she had been in a public relationship before. I hadn't, right? So I was terrified. I was like, I had seen the public kind of tear a lot of relationships apart. I was super scared to go public. I felt confident in our relationship, but I just didn't know what to expect from the public. And it was actually incredible. Everybody's been incredibly supportive. Okay. And what's even better is, for the most part, everybody's been incredibly respectful. Like, when I go to shows, like, DMs stopped. Like, you know, the creepy DMs, like, was, it really was. Like, people respected. And I think some of that's because they were...
Yeah, Gigi's like, that's love that.
And I think one of the things is, I think a lot of people respect G. And so it wasn't like I was, you know, it wasn't like...
They want us to be happy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think they wanted... So that was cool to see, and something I did not expect.
And you agree with that too?
Well, I think that, to your point, we support each other to achieve our wildest dreams. Like, Blake will be like, man, like, I'm tired, whatever. Like, this, you know, this part's frustrating. I'll be like, you're not giving up. Like, you're going to keep going, and vice versa. So, like, awesome. We do have, you know, our own things that we're focused on. And, you know, we do get the joint business ventures. But I think where we really do succeed is understanding what the other one wants to achieve and knowing that that is as important as, you know, to be happy. And so if, as long as you are going after your dreams, I know that that's what's going to make you feel successful and vice versa. Yeah. And like, I never want to be in your way. And so, you know, if you're going to a show and people are requesting for me to be there, and then you kind of get that, should I be getting paid kind of,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
I know that at the end of the day, that's going to make him succeed. If I'm there, if I'm helping, if I'm being part of, you know, the fangirl.
And if he, if he succeeds.
If he succeeds, then we succeed. Exactly.
That's something I think that's huge. Is like, if I succeed, she succeeds. If she succeeds, I succeed. It's all about who you have around you, whether it be Eric, G, DJ Silver, some of my other friends. You know, it's just the people around you. There's enough money to go around. Yeah. I say. There's enough money to go around. Everybody can make money.
I love that attitude. Yeah. We have one game we got to play. Before I give you this game that we're going to play, I got to ask you this. It's the only thing I haven't asked you. You've given me your take on how you guys handle it. But I know, and you know, we talk about it often, on the blogs, in those areas, in the Reddit chats. Hey, Gary T, you're live on Trading Secrets. I have Blake and G in front of me. What do you think about Blake Horseman? Let's just hear your overall take. You've met him. You've partied with him. What do you got?
I think Blake is a great guy. Had a lot of fun with him. Has his act together, going in the right direction.
And I love Blake.
Yeah, I love you guys.
Can I get less scripted? Can I get like, Blake's the fucking man?
Well, he is the fucking man.
Yeah, there we go.
I love it. All right.
Love you guys.
Later. You guys got to meet G. She meets him and is above him.
There you go.
All right. Back to that question.
Last question before we get in the game here. The Reddits, the blogs, the stuff, they love to hate. Caitlin and I have been in front of it. We've heard it. We've seen it. It definitely, if there's no way it doesn't in some capacity permeate to get in your head a little bit. Mm-hmm. At least that's my take. Mm-hmm. Do you have a take on public perception, the Reddit blogs? What's your overall sentiment there?
I will say
Eric's eyes are moving. Eric, actually, let's start with the manager's take. Eric, you give us your take real quickly. Reddit, blogs, people perception, you're managing talent, you're trying to help them out. What's your take? How should they deal with it? What's your advice? Get close. We need.
I've watched, you know, Blake and several other people go down that rabbit hole every day, hours a day, paying way too much attention to it. And I just think it's out of control. And people keyboard warriors are just pieces of shit, really. I have no fans, so.
And you've been very, I mean, you're very close with Ben Higgins. You're close with a lot of people from the franchise cult, a lot of people. So you've seen it from all different directions, from all different people.
Yeah.
And your overall sentiment would be avoid it, ignore it, don't worry about it.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, they bring and do absolutely nothing. And they bring nothing to your life, so.
Yeah.
They just hide behind a keyboard and talk trash, and they don't know people and what people are going through. And even though, like, a couple weeks ago, I saw their OnlyFans launch.
Yeah.
And we were getting IVs and watching G get heated over that. I was like, yeah, go get him.
We posted a video and we were kissing. We were making out in the video and people just went absolutely bonkers calling us like horrible things. And I think to Eric's point, like, I think one thing we're good at, because we both, like most people, go down the rabbit hole. Like, we'll go down the rabbit hole, we'll start spinning, but we'll see it, right? I'll see G start spinning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been dating now a year and a half, almost 2 years, to the point where, like, I kind of know whether to, like, step in or just kind of, like, let her spiral a little bit. And then, you know, I know she'll recover. So I think that's the biggest thing is, like, she'll be like, yo, like, put the phone down, stop doom scrolling, like, step away, you know, go get a workout and whatever, and I'll do the same for her. Because it's not if you're going to go down the hole, it's when, like, everybody does, right? So it's just, like, helping each other, you know, come out of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gee, you got a take on that?
Yeah, really quick. If we had actually launched an OnlyFans, we would be making a lot more than $130,000 a month.
How much do you think you'd make if you launched an OnlyFans?
With like my projection.
If we launched a couples only van,
no, honey. If I launched, he wants me to.
I 100% wanted to do an OnlyFans. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, you'd make
she'll
a
be
fortune.
Pulling in $300,000-$500,000 a month.
Yeah,
easy. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard a support easy. Like this in my life. Like no other.
I'm very, you know, nonchalant. So like, I will nip slip and I will do all these things for free by accident. Hey, honey, that might be everyone's Christmas present.
These two could sell. All right, we're going to wrap up with this game. Here we go. I'm going to ask you a question. You're going to have to tell me what the answer is of your significant other. We're going to see who gets it right or closest. We're going to share the answers. It's going to be 10 questions. Okay. Don't show each other's boards. If you don't know the answer, just take a stab at the dark. Here we go. Credit score is number one. What do you think their credit score is?
Don't be a dick.
Okay. Number two, if you had to put on paper, yes, mortgages are included, even though those assets are appreciating, total debt. How much debt do you think your significant other has? Take a shot in the dark. If you had to guess from a budget perspective, what do you think your significant other spends monthly? 1 month on average. Number four, income goal. What do you think the dream, like realistically, if you had to live in your partner's head, what do you think realistically their income goal is?
A year
in the next like 3 to 5 years. Number five, dream job. They can paint the picture of any job in the entire planet. What is your significant other's dream job? One thing that they spend too much money on, but they won't stop spending money on that. What is one thing they spend money on that they won't stop? Don't let her see. Number seven, how much, if you had to estimate, do you think that your partner has saved? How much, if you had to estimate, do you think your partner has saved? Number eight, most expensive thing your partner has ever purchased. What do you think it was? What was the dollar amount? Just take a stab in the dark. Yes or no? This one you got to get right. It's a 50-50 shot. Do you think that your partner is on pace for where they need to be with their retirement savings? I just saw an eye roll from G, just so everybody knows. Number 10.
We're going to fight.
The goal here is we're going to try and get at least 5 right. Be honest. Be real. Do you think that you know where your partner does either banking or investing? Just put one. Is a reference. One place you know they might do banking or investing. The idea behind this question is transparency. Do you have an idea of where their assets might be tied up? That is 10 questions. I'm going to take their boards once they're done. We are going to get their answers. We're going to see how many they get right. Talk money to me is a really important topic with couples. And if they're having these conversations, and if not, they're going to have to open that up. All right, here we go. Number one. What's your credit score? G said for Blake, 720. How close?
No, I'm about 820.
Oh. All right. wrong. All right. Blake said you have about a 760. What do you think it is if we pull it right now?
Mm-hmm.
760. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So we're going to say one right there. Yeah. Let's go.
I'm going to crush you. I'm going to meet you, baby.
Oh, no.
Okay. Number two, how much debt do you have? So G said, Blake, you have about 700K of debt.
Mm-hmm. The house.
Bang on. All right. G, you got a point right there. Blake, you said G has zero debt.
There we go.
Wow. Let's go. That's a connected man. Here we go. Number three, do you budget? And if so, how much do you think you spend a month? G, you said Blake spends 35K a month on average.
It's a little high. I would say about 25, but it's pretty good.
Babe, you spend 35K.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's business expenses and stuff. I'll give her that one. I'll give her that because I'm between probably. Yeah, yeah.
You've told me seven times how much is on your credit card per month.
All right. G has two. Blake has two, but we're going to the third. Blake, you said that she spends 8K a month.
Well, okay, well, now I need to know how much you spend.
No.
No, you have to. That's part of the rules.
20?
Yeah.
You think you spend on what? You don't have a mortgage or anything. Oh, you don't have business expenses.
Hey, guys, you guys are tight. You guys are close. We're moving to the next steps. This is part of the conversations we're going to get you in the next
steps. He's red right now.
Let me ask you a side question. Do you guys have a joint bank account?
No.
Oh,
not until we get married.
Okay. Number four, income goal. Gee, you said that Blake's income goal is $1 million in the next 1 to 5 years. Is that right?
Yep.
Correct. Wow, gee, you're 3 for 4. You said $1 million for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Bang on. Let's go. 3 for 4. Number five, your career job. Blake right now, he has it right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, my dream job.
Is this your dream job?
Yeah.
Damn, 4 for 5. And then you said for G, culinary.
Culinary.
Is that a bang up?
That's a good one,
that's
huh?
That's cute. I know. But no, I have my dream job.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I'm not giving you credit.
Because she always talks about wanting to go to culinary school.
I do. Okay. Oh, that's sweet.
All right. G, you got 4. Blake, you got 3. Here we go. Number 6. One thing you spend too much money on that you will not regret. G, you said for Blake, travel. Is that correct, Blake?
Yeah, I guess it's travel.
Yeah, wow. Right. You're just giving her all the points here. That's 5. All right. You tell me, G, one thing that you spend too much money on. What is your answer that you won't stop?
Clothes.
The answer.
I had clothes, but I crossed out and I said sheets.
The answer is sheets.
She buys new sheets like twice a month.
That might be part of that.
Because
you ruin them. That might be, how do you ruin them, Blake? We'll save that for a non-business podcast. All right, here we go. Number 7. How much do you have saved? G said you got 100K saved, right or wrong?
Not, yeah, like cash, yeah, yeah.
Okay, here. Yeah, G, right. You're fucking on point. You said that G has 300K saved. Is that relatively right? Mm-hmm. Holy shit, you guys are talking money.
We do talk.
Other
money,
than what you spend, most expensive thing you ever purchased. Blake, what is it? Most expensive
house.
Thing you ever, yep. Okay, house, she literally nailed that. It says his house. You have hit every single one.
I didn't
G, what is one thing that you have spent too much money on? What is it and how much?
My boat.
How much was it?
It was a pretty good deal. It was only 10K.
Yeah.
Number 9. 2 more left. Are you on pace with retirement savings? Blake, what do you think G said?
I think G said yes.
Yes. She said yes. She is fucking 8 for 9.
Jeez.
What do you think Blake said?
No.
He said no with a lot of O's.
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk about
SEP.
You're going to need a self-employed SEP. We'll talk about a SEP in the recap and an IRA. Last one. Places you do your banking and investments. G, does she know where you do your banking and your investments?
Well, yeah, you know where I do my banking.
Okay, she said yes in house. So I'm going to say no. She doesn't know. The answer might be like yes, JP Morgan. Where do you do some of your banking?
Chase.
Okay, Chase Bank. Blake gets one. That is 8 for 10. G, that is 8 for 10.
You guys
tied. The goal here was to get at least 5. Clearly, you guys are talking money. That is impressive. The last thing before we get your trading secret, the joint account, you move in together. Mm-hmm. Do you have any different rules or tactics that people or relationships should think about as you move in as one when it comes to money, finances, and just talking transparently?
Mm-hmm. I got one. I got some that I think a lot of people maybe don't know about. And I remember mentioning it to you one time. Culture. G comes from a different culture than me. And so I think people look at money, at roles differently in different cultures. So I think that was the biggest, when we first started dating, I was like trying to always remind myself like, oh, okay, she comes from a culture that does things a little differently.
So, and then what does your culture do differently?
So I'm Venezuelan, Italian. And even though I'm a very independent woman, I see things as more traditional because that's how I was brought up. So I am, and here's the thing, like I'm naturally going to like take care of the house, take care of you. Like, I will wait on you hand and foot. I am wifey material, okay? And I want to be taken care of in the sense of like, oh no, baby, don't worry, I got it. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got brought up too.
Sure.
And I think that explaining that to Blake and then not talking in a, oh, well, I deserve this.
Sure.
But also like, no, but this is how I, like, I am comfortable. This is how I've grown up. This is where I see our roles fitting. Because at the end of the day, like, I mean, it's all going to come down to kids and like, who's pushing them out? Who's staying at home? Who's doing this? And that's where my mind goes. So yeah, it's been very interesting.
Yeah,
making
us thing,
feel both comfortable with.
Yeah. So I think the communication there is massive, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. with the communication, is there something you'd recommend for other couples that have that type of sentiment? They did the communicating. They understand each mm-hmm. other's upbringing. So they're on the same page. Do you have a rule? Do you have a piece of advice?
Yeah. We'll go to your training secret. What it comes down to as a couple is figuring out where you put your value. And what dollar amount you're gonna put into that.
Love that.
And so I see my value as X. And so with my value, I'm gonna pay for the groceries, for this, for the things that I know that I'm gonna be taken care of. And I don't know if you feel the same way now, but that's where I've gotten my values and my money to feel comfortable with our arrangement. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes sense because neither of us feels like one is taking advantage of the other.
I love it.
And even if you do, at times, like, communicate. Like, because mm-hmm. there's been times where we've had, like, that's like the only thing we kind of fight about, to be mm-hmm. honest, is mm-hmm. like finances and like.
It's a number two on, yeah. number two reason.
Yeah,
why
exactly, exactly. And I think just communicate, yeah. like if you're being passive aggressive about it or whatnot. And so I think, yeah, just communicate about it. Cause we've had times where we've had like fights and then she's led like sit me down or I've sat her down and be like, this is what I'm doing around the house. This mm-hmm. is what, this is the value that I.
Communicate. And I think mm-hmm. the biggest takeaway too is understand people's relationship with money. From day one, from mm-hmm. when they were a kid, what they saw, what they adopted, because your perception of how they're acting might be totally different if you really get to understand the person and what they've seen and how they value in their relationship with money. We got to end with a trading secret. So it's a piece of advice you can't get from a professor. You can't Google, you can't find a textbook. Blake, you know how this goes. You can only get it from you guys based on your experience, your money management, and everything life's brought you. So, mm-hmm. Blake. One trading secret. And by the way, all the money mafia back there, if you think we're not getting a trading secret from the one and only Eric Bradley, you better damn bet believe he's dropping bombs in this episode. So we will be getting a trading secret. One last trading secret. Blake, we'll start with you. Eric, we'll go to you. G, we'll finish with you.
Okay. The biggest thing for me is the people, you know, above you, whether it be, you know, certain professors, teachers, managers, bosses, whatever it is, they don't know as much as you think. Like mm-hmm. they are figuring out just like you. So don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to, you know, be edgy and do something different because they're figuring it out too. And they want just as much help. Like I truly believe that the bosses want just as much help, you know, as an employee. So I think that's the biggest thing is they're not always right. You know what I mean? Rarely actually are they right. You know, they've figured it out through mistakes and through failures just as much as you will and have. So I think that's kind of the biggest thing is they don't have all the answers. So you kind of got to find one on your own.
That's a new one. We've had three trading secrets from Blake. That is a new one. Eric Bradley, trading secret you can leave the viewers with. What do you got?
I'll just keep it short and sweet, especially in our industry and my industry is today's price is not yesterday's price.
Ooh. All right. I like the mic drop.
Yeah.
Explanation. Sure. Today's can you leave us with?
From my experience is you don't owe anybody anything. And if you feel like you're in a place where you could, that you're sacrificing your income because you feel like you need to be in a place because this person has helped you, yes, at the end of the day, people are always going to look after themselves, especially when it comes to their money. So do what feels right for you. Be respectful about it. However, never go against your instinct. And if you feel like you're missing out, you probably are.
Ooh, I like that. Those are three bombs that were just dropped. All right, guys, thank you for being on Trading Secrets.
Okay.
People want a little bit more of you. Where can they find you? Blake, let's start with you.
Yeah, so I'm on the Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of that at balake.h, balockaye.h. And check out my website, blakehorseman.com. That's HORSTMANN. For any dates for my DJing, I'll be out there. I put up, you know, all my calendar and everything. So check that out.
Very nice. Eric Bradley, you heard him today. E.Brad56. Go follow him. Ask questions if you got it. G, where can people find everything you got going on?
So you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Threads. I'm super funny on there.
Let's go. If I don't say so myself.
Is where you actually see my personality. My name is Giannina Gibelli, G-I-A-N-N-I-N-A, G-I-B-E-L-L-I. Go follow me.
There we go. G baby chartreuse. Blocke. E-Brad, thank you guys for being on this episode of Trading Secrets.
Thank you.
Ding, ding, ding. We are ringing in the bell to not part one, but part two with Blake and G. If you missed part one, go back to last week and listen to it because it is a banger. This one, holy shit. There was tea flying left and right, numbers all over the place. You saw these two coming together from day one to today as a unit to take over the world, and that is what they're doing, and it makes me so proud to say I am friends with both of them. But David, I'm thinking about a different segment for this recap, right? We got to hear some of the numbers that I fired off to them in the game that we played, and I think one of the cool things about you being the voice of the viewer is that sometimes you hear these things and you're like, what the fuck? This is just so unrealistic, and sometimes you're like, this is attainable. So my first question to you is, when you see and hear some of the answers they had in the last game that we played, what was your overall sentiment? Like, were you blown away by those? Did you think those numbers were realistic? And maybe, I don't know if you're feeling up for it. I'm just going to throw a curveball at you.
Okay.
Maybe you pick a few of the questions I asked and you could answer them yourself, just because that's what the voice of the viewer does on the recap.
Yeah. I mean, number one, I just love how they've clearly taken the point of this podcast to heart as a couple and they talk finances. I mean, I think she went 9 for 10. Like, that doesn't happen by chance. Number two, definitely, like you're saying, alluding to the numbers, I like hearing them for entertainment value, but I'm not hearing them and having them resonate and saying, maybe I need to look at that area of my life. Maybe this is capable. Maybe I'm doing better than I thought, but it's impossible comparing it to the likes of them or maybe a you, and you've shared some of these in a Jason Tell All before, which I'm sure I'm going to get you to do, take some of these 10 questions and apply them to your next Jason Tell All. But as the voice of the viewer, it's only my duty if I can help make this resonate or make someone feel better about what they're doing and make someone feel like some of these questions they're capable of doing on their salaries. It's fire away, baby. I mean, let's go here. That's what I'm here for.
Can I stop you for 1 second before you fire away?
Yeah.
All right. I think you just put something out there. If you guys don't know, every year I do a Jason Tells All. It's at the end of the year. David's in the hot seat. David gets to interview me, and then I'm in the very hot seat, and he gets to ask all the questions in which I have to respond to the numbers that legally I can. David, I'm only going to say it once, and if you forget it, it's on you, and the Money Mafia is coming after you.
Let's hear it.
But I will allow you to ask every single question I ask them to me in the Jason Tells All this episode. So you mark those questions down at the end of the year.
Done.
I'll answer them all. But
done.
Done. But for now, you answer. Let's just say this. I'm going to be nice to you.
Okay.
The few that you feel comfortable sharing as the voice of the viewer, fire away.
I'm comfortable with any of them. So let's go. I'm going to give you 3 questions at a time. You pick one for me to answer. How's that sound?
I love it.
Okay.
I love it.
What is my credit score? What is my total debt? What is my spending per month?
Okay. Let's go with, what is your credit score?
So my credit score, in anticipation, because I was curious on this, is shockingly 812. And I'm very happy about
that.
Dude. Yes.
It's amazing.
My jaw hit the floor, and I'm very happy about that because when I signed for my mortgage, I knew it was 765. So in 2 to 3 years, it's gone up like 60 points. So I'm feeling myself right now. Trust
David,
me.
I love that because I think that's so relatable to anyone that's out there, regardless of your income. A lot of what makes up your credit score is what you can control. Mm-hmm. We can't control if we get lucky and go on a reality show. We can't control if we hit big with a big job and make a lot of money. What we can control is our spending, our available credit, our payment time, all these things. David, I'm super proud of you for that. 812, your score is better than mine. Let's go.
And what I want to tell people out there is, I, to answer almost the third one, spending per month, we, Ashley and I, spend more than we have coming in. And it's something that we're trying to figure out and solve. So just know that you can be in this situation and you can still have a good credit score because, like you said, we pay everything off, zero balance every time we can. I have 3 credit cards. They have a varying credit limits. We're very smart about how we use which ones. We make sure we pay them all off so we don't get buried. But back to the episodes that we have, the Remit episode, for example, the 4 things you should know your fixed expenses. I'm working on that to try and get that number back so that we're our inputs are matching our outputs in terms of our expenses.
Yes. People might say to themselves, how is it possible? How can you spend more than you make and still have all your credit card paid? Well, the only way you could physically do that is if in the past you've been smart with your savings mm-hmm. and you have cash accumulated and then you're dipping into that. The problem is once you start doing that, as you know, David, you're bleeding, right? You're taking from that cash fund. So we got to stop the bleeding, but keep the other behaviors going because an 812 is fucking awesome.
Correct.
Give us another one.
What is my income goal? What is my dream job? What is something I spend too much money on but won't stop?
Let's go. What is something you spend too much money on but won't stop?
Yeah. What's something I spend too much money on and won't stop? I think it goes back to, again, the Ramit episode is like my rich life. Like it's about experiences. Any time that I have to take, we're leaving to Italy tomorrow. Probably not the best financial decision, but we're going, we're taking Carter with us. I think those moments that you can't take back are things that I will never stop spending money on. And for me, how do I make up for that? Can I justify going to Italy right now? Probably not. But when I get home, I can curb my spending. I can curb when we go out. I can curb what we cut, type of groceries we get. We can cut back a little bit in our day-to-day routines. And that's how I'm going to make that adjustment.
Good for you. I think people hearing this will be inspired by this. You have to live your life. How many times in your life will you, Ashley, and baby Carter be able to go to Italy? At less than 1 year old, Carter will have traveled to Italy. Then I have it in 34, so my ass has got to get there. It's a dream for me to go. I do want to ask you this, though, because it's interesting to hear their dream income goals. What is your dream income goal?
Yeah, I think, you know, my dream income goal aligns with my dream job, which is kind of something that I'm in, and I know that's kind of maxed out. You know Rochester, you know the quality of life here. My dream income goal has been to live to make over six figures doing something that I'm doing. You know, I think it's attainable and it's something that I'm working towards and I work really hard at it, but I think I can have the lifestyle that I want to have and accumulate all these things. I can have no debt. I can have a good credit score. I can limit my spending per month. I can still do the spend the money on the things that I want to spend money on and live a comfortable life. So it's a realistic goal. I'm not trying to make $1 million. I don't think that's ever feasible for what I'm doing, but I want to make comfortable six figures.
And David, how you inspire me so much is the fact that you're not worried about money in the fact that if you make six figures, that's the goal. But what you're worried about, your number one concern is what you do is something you know you're good at, but you love. And so you have strategically selected a job that you absolutely love. Mm-hmm. And so there are times I see you talk about it where you're pinching pennies a little bit more than your friends and family. However, there are also times where you see those friends and family come to you, confide in you because they are so stressed. They've hit their limit. They're having anxiety attacks. They are lost in their life. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to turn. And you have so much advice to give because you've always put the priority of passion and love at the forefront of your career. And I admire the shit out of that.
Appreciate that.
That is awesome.
I appreciate that.
Let's go. A little pump up for the David Ardoin, curious Canadian voice of your. Can we ask a couple more questions?
Yeah, we got.
I think money saved would be a good one. And why don't we do total money saved, total debt, and then if you're feeling one more, let's get another. We'd love to hear from the voice of the viewer.
Yeah, so total money saved, I have $10,000 in savings. That's kind of my, you know, my bailout fund that I have when a month is really bad on the, like I mentioned, on the outputs rather than the inputs. But when you get a nice perk, when you get a nice bonus, when something happens, that's where my money goes. I don't try and put that into my checking account just to see it bleed and go away. So $10,000 saved, I think that that's pretty good. My total debt is $280,000 on my mortgage for my house. I leased my car, so there's no really debt there. I paid my student loans off, $38,000, so I feel good about that. So we live a pretty debt-free life other than what's in our house, and our value of our house has gone up a lot, so you can look at that debt as good debt. And I think the last question that I'll answer for myself is on pace for retirement. That's something that I'm not thrilled about in my life. And I think if you are a listener at home and I'm rattling off some things, that's something that I have sacrificed because I feel like I need the money more now to put it away for later. But it's the number one thing that I'm really trying to focus on and getting my inputs and outputs under control, not so I can get my day-to-day life so my future can be taken care of. So I think that's one area that I'd really like to start contributing more to on a paycheck-to-paycheck basis.
Do you have any form of 401k, IRA, SEP, anything like that started at this point?
So I have I have a Vanguard account. That's my Roth IRA. And then I have, okay. I had a really good 401k with an employer match to my old job, which I transferred to my new job. That's a 403b. And to be honest, I haven't contributed a single dollar since I moved back to Rochester to that. There's a
decent amount. There's just over six figures sitting in that right now, but I haven't been able to contribute it because I took a massive, about a 400% pay cut when I moved home. And so that, you know, I've had to just put that on the back burner for now. So I do have a couple things established, and I do have a decent crypto portfolio, which I'm just putting away until I can access it. And then
David, I want to also take a pause here and pull a little Ramit, and let's look at the positive. You have six figures in a 401k.
I do.
You know, people in this world don't have six figures in a 401k.
No, I don't. So this is something that I don't know. I just...
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely incredible. Suppose you max it out and you're getting dollar for dollar. You know, that's, let's just say, around the 12k mark over the average of the last few years. That takes 10 years of fully maxing it out with a max out and good return. Good for you. That's an amazing, amazing thing. I'll ask you this. If I asked you right now, do you know what the expense ratio and or investments that make up your portfolio in that 403b, 401k?
No, I really don't. BlackRock, a lot of BlackRock in there.
We might have to do a full episode on retirement planning. Mm-hmm. And if you guys think we need to do that, give us 5 stars because there are so many moving parts with what you're paying expenses, what type of vehicles there are, how you're selecting that money. I just read an article that there's a huge percentage of people that didn't realize once you put your money into a retirement, you actually have to pick investments.
Yes.
People thought that just because it's in retirement, that means it means it's invested. No, that's just a label of an account, like a checking, a savings, a 401k. The cash just sits there until it goes to work. If you guys think we need a full retirement planning episode, let us know in the comments. 5 stars. I will get a retirement planning expert on in which that. That's all they do day to day, and we will rip through it. But David, love I know it. I have a few more minutes with you. Blake and G, mm-hmm. part two. Anything else you're curious about or want to make sure that we talk further about in the recap?
Well, I just want to say I'm very happy for these two. They crushed the newlywed game. Blake said he's made more money every year since he's left the show, which is, as you know, extremely rare. And I think, you know, them talking about dating in their industry, I just thought that was good, wholesome content. I think they're definitely a couple that's has good perspective of and kind of really learn from their past relationships. And at the end of the day, I am going to give a shout out to Ebrads, Eric, that was in there with you. I loved his trading secret. And it was today's price is not yesterday's price. And I think at the end of the day, that just goes into self-value, self-worth. Understanding that, not being afraid to ask for services that you provide. Doesn't matter what you're doing. You could be a landscaping business, could be a home cleaning business, could be an accountant, could be anything. Today's price is not yesterday's price. As you gain experience and knowledge and expertise, start charging more for your business, for your time, for your money. I love that trading secret from him.
I gotta be honest. Ebrad only had so many words in this episode, but holy shit, they were fire. And I might say that's a top 25 trade secret of all time. One sentence, one bomb drop, and it is so meaningful. I agree with that. The big thing too, David, is I know how hard this industry is. I know how hard this industry is when it comes to being in a relationship. And then to also double down and be in a world in which you're 24/7 at a DJ booth mm-hmm. and clubs till 3-4 in the morning. I love where they're at. I love the way they support. I love the way they unite. I love the way they communicate. Like, you can agree, disagree, judge, whatever you want to do, because that's what people do out there. But like, even the fact that they've dug as deep into understanding her upbringing with money, her culture with money,
yeah.
what is expected and unexpected, and just finding happy mediums to everything. To me, one of the biggest things from this episode was how to work as one, how to build a financial future and a professional future together as one, while still having a tremendous amount of respect and support in wild directions. And some people might say too much support, encouraging OnlyFans. But yes. Hey, I mean, you know, got to do what you got to do for your family, you know?
Oh, Blake was all about it. You know how much she could make on there? 3 or 4, it should be $500,000 on there. But no, I think it was great. I think these two episodes reminded me of the Dean episode to start the whole thing off, where he shared so many numbers. We were in, you know, every, you know, magazine article, online article about how much people make to go on wide. I think this is going to have that same ripple effect. Lots of takeaways. And this was, like you said, it was a popcorn, a notepad, and all of that above. So I think this is the third time Blake's been on. So I wouldn't be surprised for him to come on a fourth. And I'll have G on anytime. She was electric.
Money Mafia. Every episode, you give us a review, 5 stars, tell us your biggest takeaway or who we should have on the show, and you get entered to win something from the Influencer Closet. The Influencer Closet is a closet I get of all different products and things sent to me valued at some at like $2, some at $2,000. I pick one at random, and I will send it to you. This week's winner is Sotes, S-O-T-E-S 9. The title of the review, Ramit plus Jason equals my new financial life. Okay, wow, I've said it before. I have been learning things and talking tidbits here and there, but that Ramit episode, wow, I literally listened to it twice so I could take notes and already started implementing. I already feel better about my finances. I actually came right on the day I was stressing out about where my money was going, but now that it's on paper, I can see it. Everything will be okay. Can't wait to continue and circle back to see how I progress. Even was able to reward myself with a new Lulu outfit. Next is a third Formula One race. Yay for guilt-free spending. So go give us a review, 5 stars. We will give you something from the Influencer Closet. David, before we sign off, you got anything else?
Everyone knows a Lululemon outfit makes you feel like $1 million. So good on her for going out and getting that.
Give us 5 stars and we will see you next week for another episode of Trading Secrets, one you can't afford to miss.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.